Well, good morning, Grace. So a couple of things to share with you. First, I don't know if you remember this, but part of the mission of taking Grace beyond the walls includes ministering here, near, and far. And one of the ways we're ministering here, near, and far is by participating in the Walk for Life and the Family Fun Day over in, where is it? I guess it's over at Post Park. And so this is in support of the Bravo Center, the Pregnancy Support Center. And we have a team led by Jeannie Lang, who's there, and they're going to be helping to minister to the folks who come out to that. And we would just encourage you to stop by. It's today from 11 to 4. And again, we invite you to participate in the mission of Grace Church, taking Grace beyond the walls in a local event. So just wanted to remind you of that. Also, we have a special occasion this morning. That is Rose Gachin's birthday. She is never going to talk to me again. I shared with the congregation a number of years ago, I shared a recipe of hers. And since that time, I have done other things to embarrass her publicly. And so I just wanted to say happy birthday, Rose. And we're glad you're a part of the church family. You know, today is a special day. Today is a special day. Not only because every Sunday, every opportunity we have to gather together and give praise and worship to our risen Savior is a special day. We're reminded again of who He is and the wonder of His grace and His mercy. But it's also a special day because today we have the opportunity to formally welcome Andrew and Heidi Johnson into the church family. And we have the opportunity to bless them in this time as we appoint Andrew to his ministry among us as the Associate Pastor for Music and Discipleship. Now, we also have the privilege of welcoming Heidi's mom, Julie, and her stepdad, Marlon. They've come from the wilds of PA, I believe. They were able to cross the border uninhibited, and they are in our midst. So we're so glad that you have joined us, and we trust that you will sense the presence of the living God in this place, that you will leave here knowing Jesus just a little bit more and loving Him a little bit more because you've been in our presence. We're a crazy bunch, but I think still we try to love Jesus and give Him the praise and the glory and the adoration due His name. So, with that, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Father God, I want to praise you for this day. Just to praise you for the fact that we have drawn breath and that we have been able to come to this place and we can offer praise and adoration to your holy name. I want to praise you, Father God, for your faithfulness. I want to praise you for the wonders of your plan, the perfect plan that would find a way for us, lost sinners, to be able to come into your presence, reconciled, made whole, declared clean and new, and given new life. Father God, we stand in awe of the perfections of who you are. And Father, we give you praise for your provision of your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning for following your Father's will, even to death on a cross, and for the likes of us, broken, broken sinners, people who could never on our own have ever entered into the presence of God, but you, Christ Jesus, were willing to take our sins, bear them upon yourself, even in your perfections, and allow yourself to be crucified, die, and be raised to new life, that we could have new life. What an awesome God we serve. And Holy Spirit, we praise you this morning. We praise you for your indwelling presence. We praise you that you are the one who convicts our hearts and draws us to the Heavenly Father, to draw us to God, that we might know you more, that we might walk in the grace that we've been given and walk as free men and women, no longer shackled to sin, no longer bearing the burden of the wages of sin that leads to the wrath of God. No, instead, we look forward to a time when we will see you in your fullness, and we will see that inheritance that we have been granted, an inheritance that will never perish, it will never spoil, and never fade. You are an awesome God. We praise you this morning. And now we praise you for this opportunity to welcome this new pastor into our midst and to welcome his bride. And Father, we pray that your name will be uplifted in all things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, brothers and sisters, the installation of a pastor is a milestone. It's a milestone in the life of any community of believers, and it marks a special moment in the life of the one who has been called into pastoral ministry. Now, for our church family, Andrew's installation as associate pastor of music and discipleship is a milestone because it serves as the culmination of what was a lengthy process. It was a process that has seen the congregation diligently seeking after the Lord in prayer and calling upon the Holy Spirit to provide us the wisdom we needed to discern God's will for us as a church. And we can praise God because we once again, we've seen the evidence of his faithfulness to us. He has been faithful to us by protecting us from the trials and the tribulations that sometimes can attend a pastoral search. He has been faithful to us by helping us to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And he has been faithful to us by making it clear through his people that Andrew is the man that has been set apart for service here. Now, with the arrival of Andrew and Heidi, I believe the Lord is inaugurating a new chapter in his work among us, among the many chapters in the life of Grace Church. Through Andrew, the Lord opens a brand new door to new ideas and renewed energy to help us to bring praise to God by expanding and developing our music ministry and to help us grow in love and faithfulness to our Lord and our love and grace for one another. In Andrew, God has provided us a brother who is not only experienced and musically talented, but he has provided us one who desires to invest in this church family and to help equip us to take grace beyond the walls, here, near, and far. And just as a pastoral installation is a milestone in the life of the church, it also is a milestone for the individual called into God's service. It is a time when Andrew publicly acknowledges and publicly submits himself to that which God has set him apart to do in this place and calls him and has called him to take upon himself that great responsibility to care for, intend, and nurture God's precious people. This is a moment that's also marked by a measure of fear and trembling. Because the man called as a pastor will have a profound recognition that in and of himself, he's not up to the responsibility that is laid before him. So because he doesn't know the challenges ahead, he doesn't know what the future holds, and he has to lean in and trust the one who does know the future, who does know if the road ahead will be filled with trials or joys or whatever, the pastor, the man called to be pastor, must commit himself to seeking after Christ with all his heart and soul and mind and strength, and desiring to make himself utterly dependent upon the Lord and God's mighty strength, so that he can serve God's people as God intends him to, with God's empowering. And along the way, he must seek to develop faithful friendships upon which he can depend and allow others to speak into his life, that he might be refined and made increasingly in the image of Christ. This is a heavy, heavy calling. So although this is an important moment in the life of God's church, and we are welcoming and installing Andrew into ministry this morning, this moment is really not so much about him. It's not so much about him as it is a testimony of praise to Jesus. A testimony to Jesus who has made this moment possible. A testimony to Jesus, the one who has chosen to work through flawed people. People who are themselves growing and developing and learning and maturing. All so that we may accomplish God's perfect plans together. So may all the praise and all the glory of the moment go to God and God alone. And this morning, I want to praise God. I want to praise and worship God for Heidi. We praise and thank God that He has provided Heidi as a helpmate to Andrew. We praise God for Heidi's willingness to faithfully journey with Andrew through the days of his candidating and his transition and his calling and all the days that are to come from this point on. We praise God for her faithfulness to him as she participates in the life of Grace Church and supports Andrew in his ministry. Christ has provided Heidi to Andrew as his greatest earthly blessing. And we trust that you will continue to fix your eyes on Jesus, and that you will continue to walk faithfully with Christ, that you might be used by God through the Spirit of God's working in you to minister to your husband, to see him through the good times, to keep him on balance, and to see him through those times that are not so good, to keep him afloat, and to remind him of what is true and noble, right and pure, to remind him to fix his eyes on Jesus, to remind him to go back to the Word, to not bite at that which is untrue, to not bite at the lures of the evil one, but rather to fix his eyes steadfastly on Jesus. He will need you in his corner. He will need you to remind him that Jesus loves him. Now, Brother Andrew, I am pleased to share this moment with you. And it's only been a little over 4 weeks since Andrew joined us. But in that time, I've very much enjoyed your company. I've been struck by your humility and your humor. I've been struck by your great talent. And I have been struck by what is very apparent to me, this great desire that you would seek and serve Jesus Christ with all that you are. That's evident if you spend any time with Andrew. And there are a host of things that I would share with you in this moment, but time is limited. So this morning I want to share just a couple of thoughts. Brother, although you have been called to lead the music ministries of the church, you are also being called upon to shepherd God's people. Music ministry is important. It's vital. But the music ministry won't have any power unless it's fixed on Christ and it's empowered by the Spirit. But it will also be devoid of its power if, in fact, you fail to pour into God's people, to shepherd God's people. I would much rather that we be a church with no program, with no music, that is just simply pouring into one another, than to have the finest of programs around in the area, but to not have that heart of a shepherd in its leadership. And so I pray that you will remember this, that you have been called to shepherd God's people, and it is a tremendous privilege. It is a tremendous privilege. It's a privilege because as a pastor, you may be set apart by this community to engage in the lives of others. As a pastor, you may be invited into some of life's most intimate moments. You may be called upon to welcome and pray over a newborn child, or to serve a couple as they start their married lives together. You may find yourself working with people and invited to attend families in their most bitter times of grief and mourning. You'll walk beside those who have been victimized by this world or who have fallen prey. They've just fallen prey to the temptations that attend this life. In these most human of experiences, you'll be called upon to be as Christ to those folks. That should cause you to tremble. That should cause you to tremble. You will be called to speak his words of blessing, his words of comfort, his words of peace, his words of wisdom, sometimes his words of challenge. There'll be times when you will be called to wade into things that you could never imagine yourself wading into. But I can think of no greater pastoral privilege than to be allowed to journey with others and to walk beside them through all that life presents. That is a wonderful privilege of pastoral ministry. And as you know, as rich and fulfilling as this ministry can be, there are also moments of deep sorrow and questioning and doubts. There are moments in which you will find yourself wondering if you're afoot or horseback. There will be those moments when you think to yourself and you wonder to yourself, how, Lord? How can I possibly serve your precious people? There are so many better people, so many more who are more skilled, who are better musicians, better listeners, better counselors, have a stronger walk in faith. And the evil one will pound you and pound you and pound you with these things. And you'll be reminded of just how inadequate you are and how inadequate you can be. And when those times come, you'll realize that sometimes the only thing you can provide to hurting people when you don't have an answer is just stillness and just presence and just a willingness to offer a quiet, unspoken prayer. If you are to serve effectively in the name of Jesus, if you are to serve his people through difficult days, you are going to need to remember that it is God who has called you to this place and into this ministry. You have not earned this. You have been called. You have been called. And you need to keep in mind, when you find yourself tired and overwhelmed and anxious or fearful, you're going to have to remind yourself of this truth. Because knowing that you have been set apart for this ministry has a way of stealing us up for those times. It reminds us that we didn't open the door, he opened the door. It reminds us that the time may come when he will close the door and we will willingly follow that lead. But we will remain steadfast in the knowledge that he did the calling. And if he did the calling, then we're called to do the walking. We're called to do the obeying and following our master's lead. There will be times when you think, I've got to throw in the towel. He did the calling. There are going to be times when you know you're inadequate to the task, or you've blown it. You've just plain blown it. And you've got to go dig out from what you blew. He did the calling. I was reminded of this, the importance of this. When I was first called into ministry, I met with a friend of mine. And that friend said to me, Wes, who are you responsible to? And I said, well, I'm responsible to the elder board. And he shook his head, no? I said, well, I'm responsible to the cabinet at our church, the whole cabinet. He said, nope. I said, I'm responsible to the congregation. You know, I'm fishing around for the right answer. He said, no. You're responsible to the one who called you. And if you are living for him, and if you recognize that you were called by God and you are serving God first and foremost, then those other things will fall into place. And even if they don't fall into place, you will be able to stand and keep following him because he did the calling. Don't forget, you didn't earn it. You were called. And because there will be challenging times, it's very, very important that you as pastor stay closely connected to the one whose purposes you serve. And the only way you can do that is through by a steady diet of the Word and prayer. It's fascinating to me how often I have read articles about pastors who do not preach the gospel to themselves and who lose track of the gospel message, lose track of the scripture because they get so engaged in work, they get so engaged in all the stuff of ministry that they fail to stay in the Word and they fail to depend on Christ in prayer. I'm telling you now, the pastor who doesn't stay in the Word and who doesn't remain in prayer not only will not be aware of his own sin, will not become aware of his own need for the constant renewal through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you will find that you're moving faster and faster in ministering now to please others, to make sure everybody is happy. You know the story. You get 10 church people in a room, you get 15 opinions. This is true. They're not all bad opinions. And so you've got to stay grounded in the Word. You've got to remember who it is you're serving. You've got to remember that you've been called. And as much as you might desire to serve people, your efforts to serve people will prove increasingly devoid of His power, of God's power, and you will be frustrated in ministry, and you will be impatient with God's people if you don't remain in the Word and prayer. Now, there's so much more that I want to share with you. You've been here only 4 weeks. You know I have an opinion on every matter. But for now, remember, it's God who called you, Andrew. And steel yourself with that truth. And resolve yourself to stay committed and connected and dependent on the one who has called you, because those he calls, he most certainly empowers. And he has given you everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of him who's called you by his own glory and goodness. You lack no spiritual reserves to do the work that he's called. What we lack often is the desire to make ourselves dependent upon him. And my hope and my prayer is that you'll find yourself daily blessed as you serve his people. And you will be used of God to bring glory and praise to his name above all else. Now, can I invite you to come up to receive the charge? My brother Andrew, with the authority of Christ and his glory and praise, you have been called by God through the voice of this congregation to serve among us, to help to lead his people as we seek to love the Lord our God with all our heart and souls and minds and strength, so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. To God, we desire that we would be led in such a way that we would be a people who go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. Now, while this ministry is common to all believers, you have been set apart for a special service to equip this body of Christ for its ministry of reconciliation to the world. So as you embark this new chapter of your ministry in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage in love with great patience and careful instruction. There will be many things that pull upon you, but in the end, that is your primary calling. Preach the word, whether it is through your life or through your actions, through your word, preach the word. I charge you to remember that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And I charge you to seek to live with the joy and confidence that comes from being rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, while your office grants you privilege, it is a privilege to serve in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no ermine coat. There is no executive washroom. Hey, you have been upstairs, right? You're called to serve. And it is a tremendous privilege. Keep yourself from that thought that somehow you deserve more. Because we don't. What we deserve, we have been spared from by God. In the discharge of your office, I charge you to love and serve God's people in this place and beyond these walls. Even as Christ has loved you, open your life to us. Share in our joys. Share in our burdens. Share in our labors and our faith. Love big, Andrew. Love big. And encourage often. Care for God's people with patience, young and old, strong and weak, rich and poor. And I charge you to teach and serve faithfully and to the best of your ability, watching over us by providing for our spiritual lives and giving us instruction. Nourish us with the wisdom and strength so that we might glorify God. I charge you to serve our community with energy as well as your talents and intellect and imagination and love, relying on God's mercy and rejoicing in God's promises through Jesus Christ. And lastly, I charge you to seek Christ's presence in prayer, strengthening yourself for your work. Exercise the gifts bestowed upon you and allow God and this congregation to forgive you when you fail. Take leisure and recreation. Enjoy the precious gift you've been given in Heidi and give yourself time to enjoy that life with her. My brother Andrew, will you receive this charge as you endeavor to serve here at Grace Church?
I do.
Let God's people say amen. Now I'd like to invite my brother Ray Miller, as chairman of the elder board, to come up and lead us in the charge of the congregation.
All right. So this is a charge to the congregations. Brothers and sisters, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you have confirmed Andrew to live and serve among us, and to be and his beloved wife, Heidi. I don't know where Heidi is. Heidi. So I give you this charge to the congregation. Encourage him. Respect him. Follow as he guides you. Serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church. Provide for him financially and for his welfare as he works among you. Stand by him in times of trouble. Stand by him in times of joy. Pray for him. Pray for Heidi. Listen to the words he preaches. Hear as he teaches. Welcome his pastoral care and honor his calling as he seeks to honor and obey our Lord. Rededicate yourselves to the gospel and give yourselves to God's renewing power. Place your whole selves in Christ's service that God may be glorified in this place and beyond. 1 Peter 5:1-3 says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Jesus Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but being examples to the flock. And may the Lord bless you and keep you now and forevermore. So I'd like to invite Heidi up. Come on up here if you would, Heidi. I want to pray over you guys. Any elders that are here? Brian, Bob, Craig. So as a congregation, if you guys want to just like put your hands out in the air as we're praying, feel led to, that's fine. It's not mandatory. So I'll lead us off. And Pastor Wes, you will close us. Heavenly Father, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for new opportunities. We are thankful for the ways in which you work through this body of believers. We pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us as we start a new season here at Grace Church. We pray for Pastor Andrew as he starts his ministry here. We pray that his leading will be honoring and glorifying to you. We pray also for him to always be in the Word and to be drawing nearer to Jesus. We also pray for Heidi, for her continued support of Andrew's calling to be a pastor of Grace Church, for her to continue to love God with all her heart, mind, and soul. Amen.
Lord, I'm so thankful that you brought Andrew and Heidi here. Just ask that you bless them, and in particular, bless them in relationships, Lord. Bless them in their marriage. Bless them in their relationship with you and your word. And bless Andrew with a great relationship with Wes, that their friendship can help them to serve you more effectively. And just watch over their relationships with all of us as well, and help us to love and serve you as we work with them and minister to them.
Lord, we just thank you that Andrew and Heidi are here. We're so excited about what you're going to do through them here in our community, Lord, reaching out, Grace Beyond the Walls. We are very excited about that. We know that spiritual warfare is a real thing, Lord, and we just pray today that we know the devil's prowling. Pastor Wes reminded us of that this morning. The devil is prowling, and he wants to strike the shepherd. And we just pray protection around Andrew and Heidi, their marriage, as Brian said, and their walk and everything, that you would protect them and keep them safe and ministering here at Grace. Thank you, Lord.
Father, how awesome it is that you choose us to do your will. And as we think upon Andrew, we think upon this calling, this awesome responsibility. And Lord, we give him to you. We pray that his reliance is on the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit would work in and through him, that the Spirit would keep his steps ordered and his path straight, no matter what this life brings. Lord, thank you for calling him to this vocation, to serve you and to serve his people, to shepherd his people. What another awesome and mighty responsibility that is. Lord, bless Heidi as she walks alongside Andrew. Bless their marriage. May their marriage be an example for other marriages throughout the congregation. Lord, may you work in both of them in mighty ways. And Lord, may the glory be yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, I am reminded of our brother Joshua in the scripture. Joshua was a man of talent, giftedness, leadership, a mighty warrior. And upon the death of Moses, Joshua was told by you, be strong and courageous. Joshua, that mighty warrior, was afraid as he went forward. He was aware of the huge responsibility that was laid upon him. I pray, Father God, that the weight of the responsibility will rest upon Andrew's shoulders, but that he will not be afraid. He will be strong and courageous. And I pray, Father God, that he will see many, many years of faithful ministry. So we entrust him to you, for there is no name, there is no power greater than yours to whom we can entrust him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother?
Well, good morning, Grace Church, and thank you for this calling. As I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity that y'all have provided for me to continue to serve the way that I felt called to serve. In the tradition of the Presbyterian Church that I grew up in, before someone is to seek work in ministry, they not only need to feel that inward call themselves, but they're supposed to seek the church's affirmation to that calling. I'm thankful that before I started in ministry in Iowa and here in New York, my senior pastor growing up, Kevin Rudolph, sat down with me and assured me of this outward calling. And not only has he assured that with me, but with my previous church in Iowa and with Pastor Wes here at Grace. With that, I want to thank you all for continuing to affirm this outward calling, as my tradition would subscribe to. Now, as I think through my installation, I thought y'all might have some questions today. One, you might be thinking or asking yourself, why does he always say y'all? Second, you might be thinking, what does an associate pastor of music and discipleship do? And then third, you might not be asking, but you might be thinking to yourself, stop asking yourself easy questions so you can look like a genius. I can assure you I am not a genius, and these are easy questions. If you want to ask me a hard one, stop by the office someday and ask me about superlapsarianism. But I'll just answer those first two. Then the first one is really easy, right? I say y'all because I grew up in Texas. And the word y'all and further derivatives of it, y'alv, with three different apostrophes, turning four words into one syllable, is the perfect evolution of the English language. You might not accept that yet, but if you spend enough time with me, you might find it a bit contagious. And soon we will have a church in New York where everyone is saying y'all. And I won't apologize for that. Now, if you can bear with me a bit longer, I'll take a few minutes to expound upon my philosophy of the second question. What is a pastor of music and discipleship do? So the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Colossae these words in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Musically, this is what I seek to do with our team, to guide us as a church to not only sing spiritual songs to the Lord, but also to sing the psalms that are in Scripture, and as well as hymns, songs steeped in Scripture. Today, I don't have the time to break down exactly what differentiates psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but rest assured, it is something I will speak about at some point in the future. In our singing of these songs, we have a very distinct purpose. We are to sing with thankfulness to God, who has chosen to save us when we had done absolutely nothing to warrant that salvation. That while we were still enemies to God, he chose to bear the punishment of our sin for us. And our singing is to teach and admonish each other, because music is a powerful memorization tool, as I'm sure you're all aware. That's why Coptic priests in the Coptic church have songs for all of Scripture. If they are able to recall the tune, then they can sing any verse in Scripture. That's why, even though I haven't used the quadratic equation in 19 years since I took Algebra 1 as a freshman in high school, it is still cemented in my brain through song. Because x equals the opposite of a b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac all over 2a. Now, my stepdad Marlon is here, and I'm sure he knows what the quadratic equation is used for. But I don't, because I haven't used it in 19 years. But this is why we strive to sing songs that are rich in theology and steeped in Scripture, right? Because we all know you're more likely to leave service with a part of what we sang today stuck in your head than anything that I or Wes, Ray, or any of the elders personally said. Right? As we sing songs that are deep in Scripture, we are letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Because what we sing, we will be the starting point for our theology. And whether you realize it or not, everyone has a theology they subscribe to, and everyone is a theologian. So let's let our theology come from the word of the Lord rather than the will of ourselves. And now let's look more towards discipleship. But I'll be honest, most of what I would say about discipleship was kind of rug pulled underneath me because 2 weeks, our brother and great elder Bob preached a wonderful sermon about discipleship. In Bob's sermon, he encouraged each of us to either ask someone to disciple us or to find someone to disciple. And I want to second Bob in this encouragement for each of you to do this and to add that we see this happening in Scripture. Right? Paul and Timothy have a very special relationship. where Paul is raising Timothy in the faith, and then he's eventually sending Timothy out to oversee churches, where the discipled Timothy has now become a disciple-making disciple. It should be each of our goals. Right? Timothy was, simply put, discipled by Paul. And so Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, this isn't a charge that is just left to Timothy, or is just left to Wes and I because we're in vocational ministry. We are each to fulfill this calling. And I'm grateful that Pastor Kevin, Pastor Don from Iowa, and many men earlier in my life have invested in me and discipled me. I'm grateful that today I have Pastor Wes, many of our elders here, to invest in me and to disciple me. And I'm grateful that I've had years of working with youth and teens and young adults that I've gotten to disciple them and had the pleasure of seeing them grow into strong Christian men and women today. I've been a Paul. I've been a Timothy. I'm still a Paul. I'm still a Timothy. And I'm looking forward to continuing that here in New York. My question for you, church, each of you, is who is your Paul and who is your Timothy? Who are you being discipled by and who is your disciple? And if you don't have a Paul or a Timothy in your life, seek one out today. Now, unfortunately, some of us may not be ready to be a Paul, but they need a Paul. Some need to be raised in the faith first, just as Timothy was. So, to you who will take up this task of discipling, I want to encourage you to remain steadfast in who Jesus is and what he has done, to keep the message of the gospel clear, and to be ready to preach the gospel at all times. Remembering how we are all fallen, how we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God, in his infinite grace and mercy, made it so that even while we were still enemies with him and had done nothing to deserve salvation, he took it upon himself to send his son Jesus to save a people for himself. So Jesus took upon himself the sins of those who would trust in him and was crucified, where he bore the sins of those who believe in him on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again, defeating both sin and death, so that those who believe in him would spend eternity with him in heaven. If you're uncertain about whether or not you are saved, please find myself or Pastor Wes or any of our elders here after the service, because from what I know of these men is that I know they would love nothing more than to continue to share about Jesus with you and to share that gospel with you. So with that, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for all that you've done, for loving us when we were undeserving, for continuing to love and bless us through all of this. Help us to keep your gospel message clear. Help us to continue to live our lives with faith in you. Help those who do not know you to seek you out today, and help our church to continue to follow and praise you. Help us to find our Paul and help us to find our Timothys so that we can each become disciple-making disciples. Lord, we're thankful for you and all that you did when we are completely undeserving. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.